Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
The proper soundtrack to Big Three Pointers, You Dropped a Bomb on Me by the Gap Band, which John Morant honored in style last night in the easily the funniest thing he has ever done in his life.
It was fantastic. You and I both said yesterday we would be disappointed or frustrated or would not be a wise thing for him to do the gun thing last night, and he didn't do it. I did wonder. I thought it was hilarious. And they can't possibly react and discipline him for this, can they? He's changed armaments. This is hilarious.
I mean, they could, but they're really going to tell them themselves if they do and show how, like, this is not a zero-sum thing. Like, Ja could be wrong for doing the gun stuff given his history, and the NBA can be wrong for being phony about it in terms of pretending to care about something they didn't actually care about.
Right.
When what they really care about is bad PR and their own sort of thin skins, like, you know, self-conception or whatever. And that would be what, if they do anything to Ja on this, it would be about themselves, not about the league, and you know, about the commissioner and his and the commissioner's office, not about the general NBA. And that would really tell on themselves. I thought it was great because it made, like, I don't like the gun stuff, and I think right. The NBA should just say, like, we're not doing this anymore. You get a technical foul, whatever, for anybody. But the gun stuff can come across as menacing. The grenade thing was just pure cartoon. It's just purely cartoonish, and it rendered the whole, like, realm of, like, you know, basketball weapon metaphors, which are rampant, as just pure comedy. It made it all the whole thing seem ridiculous. I thought it was great. I thought the elaborate three part: you pull the pin with your teeth, you toss it, and you put your hands up to your face to cover from the blast. You sort of look like Macaulay Culkin in the Home Alone poster. I thought it was hysterical, the whole thing.
It was hysterical. It was absolutely great. All right. So that was the highlight. Obviously, there was the trauma of the injury to Jalen Wells, which looked awful, and it turns out is really just an awful blow to the rotation. But I don't know what you made of that. My opinion was it was a reckless play, but I didn't think it was a malicious play by KJ Simpson. What did you make of the way it unfolded?
No, this happens. And yes, though, no, reckless, not malicious is exactly right. I mean, it's sort of like Dylan Brooks with Gary Payton in the playoffs. That was reckless, not malicious. And we've seen Jaren get some flagrant fouls this year going up to contest stuff and guys take balls and not flagrant twos, I think, but he's got a couple flagrant ones doing that. And, you know, these things happen in basketball, and that was a needless play by KJ Simpson. Like, he really didn't get to the point of being able to even make a play on the ball, not even as close as Dylan Brooks did in another thing. Like, it was a no hope thing. Like, he sort of hit him back to back. Like, it was just a bad play. But when you make bad plays, you don't know what's going to happen on the impact, right? Like he could have landed in a way where nothing happened at all, and then it wouldn't be as big of a deal. It probably would have been a flagrant one instead of a flagrant two. But he happened to land in a particularly bad way. It was a very scary situation. The Grizzlies have not put out anything official, but based on what Jalen Wells' father and to some degree Jalen Wells himself put out on social media, it seems like, he dodged the worst case potential outcomes with something like that. He did break his wrist, which presumably will cost him, the rest of the season and whatever postseason the Grizzlies get. So it's a blow for the Grizzlies, who had already lost Brandon Clark.
Yeah, and then Zach Edey also said, we knew he was all right. We got the word in the locker room. So, yeah, okay. All things point to this being a broken wrist and a banged up face, but hopefully nothing more serious. Right. But it is a hell of a blow to the rotation. It feels like this is the playoff tradition now. You go into the playoffs, and again, the Grizzlies aren't alone in this, but you go into the playoffs missing important rotation players. What would you say, two of the top eight now out? Is that how you'd characterize it?
Yeah, and you could even a month ago, you would have looked at the team and said, okay, you get into the fourth quarter of a tight playoff game, you had Ja, Dez, and Jaren out there, who are the other two players on the floor, and a pretty common answer to that would have been Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells in terms of a closing lineup, because right. Brandon Clark, I think, was always perceived to be a closing big next to Jaren, and all season long, you've been trying to figure out who's the wing you're going to have out there, and you hoped it would be Marcus Smart, you hoped it would be Vince Williams, but Marcus Smart was gone, and Jalen Wells, Vince Williams hadn't become his old self, and it looked increasingly likely it might just be Jalen Wells, and so it's possible you lost two guys who might have been in your closing five.
What's the playoff rotation now? Vince goes into the starting lineup, right?
Vince started the second half of that game. I think that Vince will continue to start. I think that makes the most sense. And then, I think you're going to see them lean even more into Scottie Pippen and Santi Aldama, playing really heavy roles. And so you got, Ja, Jaren Dez, Zach Edey, Scottie Pippen, Santi Aldama. That's six guys. If they're all playing, you play all six of them 30-plus minutes, you took up a lot of time. I think Vince will play. I think Kennard's going to play just in the hope that he's going to hit a shot and wake up. You got to keep playing him, I think. And then at that point, do you find a new ninth man? And I think you probably do to some degree. And I feel like it may be matchup dependent, but I think the most likely guy to step up and at least play a small role is probably Lamar Stevens, because I think he has the most defensive utility in terms of being able to throw him onto different matchups defensively and having faith that he'll hold up physically a little bit with that. I think you would have more faith in him defensively in that situation than you could John Conchar or Gigi Jackson. So I think Lamar Stevens is someone who probably steps into, maybe hopefully a smaller role, but steps into some kind of role.
If that's right, and I suspect it probably is, it's been a bad year for Gigi Jackson, largely because of the injuries that set him, didn't allow him to progress and get integrated and all of that. It felt like, at least initially.
Right.
But bad year, and then bad year where you're surpassed by Lamar Stevens as the ninth man, and that's pretty rough.
Well, it may be partly what the Grizzlies need in a moment, right? If they feel like you want to just have a chance of someone to go out there and get some buckets and your offense is stalling, maybe it's Gigi. But more than likely, when you're getting into that role, you're thinking about it from more of a defensive prism, especially when you're trying to replace Jalen Wells minutes.
Right.
I think if you're thinking about it through a defensive prism, that leads you more to Lamar Stevens. And Gigi needs a reset this summer, and he needs to embrace that reset, and that's a real question with him.
But he is not embracing. He's not currently embracing.
No, this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he needs to embrace it this summer. He is still only 20 years old. He is still super talented. He is on a multi-year contract with the Grizzlies that has much more upside than downside, right? There's not a lot of upside at this point. There's more upside in trying to turn Gigi Jackson into a player than trying to trade Gigi Jackson right now, given the contract and given what he's done. And so, everyone needs to be committed, including Gigi, to, resetting and getting back on track this summer. And there's no reason that he can't do that, but he needs to embrace doing that, clearly.
If I had asked you when the season began who would be the starting five or the closing five, You might well have said the three stars, Zach Edey, probably Brandon Clark, but and Vince Williams certainly would have been in that mix.
Right.
And now here we have. It's been on the long and winding road to get here with some misfortune along the way. But started the second half, hit some three-pointers. That's just whatever, hit some three-pointers last night. What do you make of the current version of Vince Williams?
Well, there's just no evidence that he's right physically. And you can look at all kinds of markers. You can just watch him play. But if you want to look into statistical markers, what you'll find is that setting aside the three-point stuff, he's getting to the rim less frequently. He's drawing fouls less frequently. The steal and block rates are down significantly. That is all signs of a player who's not playing with the same physical force he did a year ago. And I think that's because the ankle still doesn't feel right. It was a really bad ankle injury. Apparently, he's just never felt quite right with it. I don't see a lot of reason to think that's going to suddenly change in a dramatic fashion over the next 3 weeks. Now, the one thing I will say, and I wrote a column this morning that'll go up later today that has some of this, if you really drill down, one thing you'll notice with Vince Williams this season is that his performance across the board, shooting percentage, points, rebounds, steals, blocks, plus minus, all of it, his performance across the board gets incrementally better the more rest he's gotten. His numbers on 2 days rest are better than his numbers on 1 day rest. His numbers on 3+ days rest is better than his numbers on 2 days rest. The playoffs in the first round, if they get into a full first round series, is more spread out. If they can manage to avoid the play-in, they'll get a week's rest before. He was pretty good last night coming off. He had a week off because of the illness, you know, and he looked better last night. I do think, to me, that sort of jibes with, like, the ankle stuff. And so I do have some hope in that regard. They don't need him to be a big contributor. I mean, Jalen Wells wasn't a big contributor. They need him to play some defense and to knock down some shots and maybe to give them some activity that's maybe even beyond what Jalen Wells did. And so I have some hopes that he can soak up minutes in a productive way when you're talking about being a fifth option on the floor doing so. But I don't think he's going to suddenly become last year's Vince Williams, not this season.
Zach Edey's becoming this year's, I mean, like two monster rebounding games in a row. And I wouldn't have necessarily expected the rebounding numbers to take this leap under Isolo. What are your thoughts about what you saw yesterday from Zach Edey?
I think he has been, it's interesting because it's not like they're like giving him the ball, you know,
right.
Like he's back in the starting lineup. He's getting more minutes. He's more involved, but not in the old, like, throw the ball to the big guy to get him going. Right. They're actually not doing that at all. What they're doing is they're using him in the actions to get him going. He is involved in the physicality of the play with his screening and his crashing, and I think that is getting him going. And I think he is gaining confidence because his physicality is being used more consistently maybe than it was before. They're treating his physicality as an important weapon for the team, and I think he's feeding off that, and he's playing with more confidence. And, like two plays jump out last night. There was a play where he literally held off a defender with one hand.
I know, like a little kid.
Getting a rebound. Yeah, like a little kid, and he got the rebound and finished the play with the other hand. And then there was a play in the second half where he got the ball on the block, and, you know, they were physical with him. And so many times this season he's gone out with a little touch shot. He gathered himself and went up and dunked on the dude. And that's what I want to see from Zach Edey. And I think his confidence is growing and his physicality is becoming more of a factor. And I think that's great to see. You know, whether that holds up in the playoffs when people are picking on him defensively remains to be seen. But when I think about projecting into next season, I think the way he's responded, you know, these last six games, you know, five, not counting the Boston where he had the issues, but five of the six, he's been really good. And the way he's responding to this, I think, is very encouraging for the Grizzlies as they think about, you know, what they're doing with their team going into the summer and into next season particularly.
Yeah, it's funny. Given their perilous spot and given the recent upheaval, I could have imagined that I would have felt a little grim about, but I feel pretty good about him right now. Like, the Isolo stuff has seemed to be pretty seamless at this point. Zach Edey seemed like he's unlocked or unleashed or something. Jalen Wells had already ticked back up after sort of dipping a little bit.
Right.
And then I think Ja being back is such a huge
right.
part of it, right? Ja being back, playing well, and engaged. I do wonder, The absence of these two players, you know, does it sort of change? It certainly changes the ceiling. I also wonder how it ultimately changes how people will feel, and it's up to them, of course, about disappointment in the end. You know,
we'll see what happens. I think those things are related. I don't think anyone has the same expectations that maybe you would have had 2 months ago. I think because of the loss of Clark, because of the loss of Wells, because of some of the decline in play defensively and against the good teams, I think the sense of what is possible has lowered. But I still want to see like competitive play in postseason basketball, whatever they get. And I'll still go back to where I've been for a lot of this season, which is like, you know, if this team, honestly, the team will probably never win a title because most teams never win a title. But it certainly seems like if it's going to happen, this is not the season that's going to happen. But I want the team to feel like the organization to come out of this season and these playoffs feeling like we got a real shot to do something big next season and we need to do everything we can to take advantage of it. And I want the team to do enough to help embolden that feeling. I want people to feel that way going into the summer and going into next season. And I want people to treat it that way. And so that's really what I'm looking for.
Two things league-wide yesterday. The Nuggets looked over, saw what the Grizzlies were doing, and as you put it, said, hold my beer, firing the coach and the GM. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of these things where people react with surprise from the outside, but you don't really know what's going on internally, and it sounds like there's some similar kind of stuff in the sense of, you know, defensive decline, shakier play, and the sense internally, right or wrong, but the sense internally, like the longtime coach's voice is not having the same effect it used to have. And so obviously the front office part of this, where he was on a last year of his contract, and they were going to have to make a decision one way or the other, that's sort of similar to the old Lionel Hollins situation with the Grizzlies in the past, where either you're going to give them a new contract or you're not, and so you decide not and you let them go. But from a coaching standpoint, obviously it's different in that it's even a little bit later in the season, and it's a coach who has had more success, who's won a title there. But like, coaches don't last forever, even good coaches, and sometimes there's a sense of like you just need a change, you need to hear a new voice, and that determination could be right or could be wrong. It's hard for us to know from the outside. But like, you know, I think people overreacted to the Jenkins thing as a quote unquote bad decision from the outside, and I think, you know, people are doing that, the same thing with this. Like, people have their reasons for these decisions.
Okay, and then you saw this. Luka was tossed from the game last night.
I saw it happen. I flipped over to that game.
You literally saw it happen.
Show just in time for that to happen.
Well, tell the people what you witnessed then. Tell the people what you witnessed.
I don't know. Well, he got tossed because it was a second tech. So yeah. I don't know what happened for him to get the first tech. He wasn't tossed for this thing. It was because they gave him a second tech. But he was apparently jawing with a fan courtside, and something happened. He hit a shot or whatever. I don't even remember. And he turned and he was smiling about it and like said something to the fan. And the referee was in the vicinity, and it seemed like the referee thought Luke was talking to him and gave him a technical foul and then tossed him. And like, can't we have fun here? What are we doing? We can't jaw with the crowd a little bit. It's just another. It's sort of like, you know, the league office being a little thin-skinned on some of this stuff. To me, it was the referee being a little thin-skinned, and that was a big game. And like,
and
you
it was
know,
tied had, at 108 when he did it.
Right.
After he hit the bucket, it was tied.
Yeah, so it was an unnecessary technical that diminished the game that was happening, and so that was unfortunate.
In that situation, I get if the ref hears you mother effer whatever it is, and then he realizes, Luka explains, and incredibly, I guess, I believed it. Like, there's the fan laughing.
Right.
He's standing there up laughing. And can't the official at this point say, my bad, and retract the technical?
I assume they can. I don't know whether role-wise they can. I assume they can. And I think they should.
100% should. All right, we got a bunch tonight. We got Luka returning to Dallas tonight. Oh, my God.
That's
happening. That'll be a scene. They're going to do a tribute video and
whatever. They're giving out t-shirts, apparently.
Yeah, and t-shirts.
They're giving out t-shirts. Shane Battier poster night.
Oh my God. I did not object to that the way so many of you did. Spurs Warriors tonight. Nuggets Kings tonight. And Rockets Clippers tonight. So we'd like the Lakers, Warriors, Nuggets, Clippers to lose. Where should I put putting my hopes?
So all four of those teams are favored to win those games. But that's four games. So the odds are pretty good that one of them takes a loss, right, even though they're all four favored. I mean, I think the one that has the lowest odds of winning and the one that seems like the best bet is probably Denver at Sacramento. They're on the road. Sacramento still has something to play for. Sacramento's won three in a row. Denver's lost like three or four in a row. That seems like a decent bet. The Clippers are on a second night of a back-to-back against a rested Rockets team, but they're at home, and I think the Rockets may be sitting some guys.
Yeah, the Rockets don't have any to play for anymore.
Yeah, and so we'll see. I mean, it could be that like all four games go the wrong way, and the Grizzlies, the good news is that the Grizzlies control their own destiny now. Right. If they win out, they're going to be the five, at least. And so they're in decent shape, at least they have control over it. But, like, you know, there's a good chance, you know, what are the odds, right? One of those teams might take a loss. Right.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Column going up later on today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.